From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. I am Chase Palm. In the Clark Ford studio this morning, Neil McCready occupied with the Rivals Publisher Convention in Atlanta. He went over there and flew solo, so I am here with you today. I will be joined by Rivals.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson. We're going to have a recruiting-focused Oxford Exxon podcast. We'll get to him soon as he goes for over 50 minutes about the camps, the recent commitments, and what's going on with Ole Miss football recruiting in the summer and as the fall is inching ever so closer by the day. The podcast is brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Get the Speed Pass Plus. Been telling you about it for a while. And that's because that app will help you out. It'll help you save money. It'll make you more efficient at the pump. It'll save you time. And it'll help you avoid identity theft, credit card scammers. You're not going to have to swipe a debit card. You pay right there at the app and save money in the process. Head on in, get a daiquiri while you're at it in Oxford, and get the Speed Pass Plus wherever you you can get your fuel through critical blue skies throughout Mississippi. I am in the Clark Ford studio. You can find Clark Ford in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the phone number for that. Give Corey a call. Get you a quote within 15 minutes. And when you go in to buy a car, at the very end of the deal, tell them you heard about it on the podcast, $500 off if you do that with Clark Ford. So give Corey a call. Again, 662-257-1900. Only really Ole Miss-centric news that went down yesterday, other than taking kind of Twitter by storm with really good social media stuff with the offensive lineman and Jordan Tamu. Greg Kessinger had his surgery yesterday on both thumbs. That was done in Jackson, I believe. Dr. Geisler performed that. And I think it went pretty well. Again, both thumbs in that collision last week during the one Cape League game that he played. I know the left thumb, the glove hand thumb, had to have a plate in it, so that was more significant, but I think it went well. And then on the right thumb, they repaired it also. So Ole Miss told me a couple days ago that it was a 6 to 8 week recovery time is a rough estimate. I've heard nothing different, but tough recovery just from the standpoint of having both thumbs injured like that. But he should be fine for fall, obviously should be fine for the spring, and could have been much worse, considering what I've heard about the difficulty of that collision. I think it was pretty hard. I think it knocked up his face pretty good as well. So could have been worse, but I think that the surgery went well. Everybody's pretty optimistic about Gray's return whenever that does happen. Having Russell on the podcast today, maybe that's in lieu of a soft verbal this week. Russell's podcast that we bring you weekly, and that is brought to you by Billy's Pecans, as well as our hotline, BilliesPecans.com. I know many of you guys check them out at Christmas and you love them, but all year long you can get their different pecans, you can get their different chocolate options. They have coffee cakes. They have plenty more to get in touch with. Find out how they can help you, whether it's corporate items or just personal, for you to enjoy with BilliesPecans.com. That's B-I-L-L-I-E-S. Phone number 1-800-624-7404, or send them an email, info@billyspecans.com. A little bit of programming. We will not have a podcast tomorrow as Neil will be traveling. And then later in the day, I'll be traveling as well, because Friday we're going to come to you from Jackson, the YGB, You Gotta Believe football camp. Many former Ole Miss players involved with that camp, teaching kids through really of all ages different coaching techniques as far as how to properly tackle. It is a teaching camp. It's not a scouting camp. It is a teaching camp to make them have better fundamentals, teach them the game of football at whatever age they are at that camp. Jordan Wilkins, Evan Ingram, Dante Moncrief, Cody Core in attendance, as well as many others. So we're going to go live. I guess not live for you guys, but we're going to record from Jackson Academy from that camp on Friday morning. So get on the podcast on Friday. No podcast tomorrow. However, you will get a Greatest Pod in the South brought to you by Cathead Vodka, Neil McCready, J.G. Tate, and Gabe DeArmond, who covers Missouri, who's been on the podcast a good bit with us here. They all recorded from Atlanta last night. I saw a picture for those wondering about Jay's hair. It is quite white. It is quite gold. It is bleached out, whatever you want to call it. You can find that picture on Twitter as Neil was quoting Jay throughout the night. They might have imbibed in a little Cathead vodka as well, but they were having a good time, and they will get you a greatest pod in the South as well. So you won't be without podcasts. We're bringing you plenty from the MPW Digital Network, and we'll have recruiting on this one. We'll have Jay and Neil and Gabe yucking it up, and then we'll be back Friday from Jackson. So without further ado, let's get into Russell in a second on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Before we do that, I'll tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float down option. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLO, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com. Podcast also brought to you by Tyson Drugs. That is in Holly Springs. The website is TysonDrugs.com. They have a great app as well. Fill out the forms, give them your doctor's name, they'll get the prescriptions ready, and get them to you wherever you are. They deliver them. Also now in Oxford as well with G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar, and they deliver local in the Oxford area. Here's Russell Johnson talking Ole Miss recruiting on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Russell, thanks for hopping on. It's been a pretty active month in the Ole Miss recruiting scene between commitments and camps and whatnot. Seems like there's been a run on commitments, specifically offensive linemen, a couple from Georgia and different things over the last few weeks. So let's just start here. I don't think this is a question, but it's one that I kind of had a curiosity in. You've detailed them. Chad Simmons has helped out. I've had a lot of content at rebelgrove.com. But here in the last, let's say, 30 to 60 days, Ole Miss, out of the commitments they have gotten, which one would you put the most stock in? If they were all sitting there and you had to buy into one, who is it to have a productive college career?
It depends if you're looking at the high school level or the JUCO level. If you're going with the JUCO level, you've got Northeast Community College linebacker / defensive end Samuel Williams. He's been rated a 4-star by Rivals, got offers from all over the country. His recruitment was really just starting to like peak after his camp performance at Ole Miss, and getting him in the fold early as they have, especially being a linebacker and recruiting at Ole Miss, that's always been a problem, it seems, at least since I've gotten here. And with him, he's going to have 2 years to play two eligibility wise, be able to make an instant impact, whether it's in a 3-4 or a 4-3 as a defensive end or a linebacker. But from a high school standpoint, I would have to go with Charleston cornerback DeAndre Prince. Right now, he's a little bit raw in terms of as a prospect, but being close to 6'1", and he'll be about 170, between 170 and 180 when he gets to the chance to play in Oxford. His physicality and his speed and just being able to be coached, when you have such a raw talent like that in state who runs a 40, I think he ran a 4.52, might have been faster than that at the camp this month. I'm seeing him and how he progresses this season is going to be interesting. And like I said, out of all of the commitments, there's been quite a few offensive linemen who've committed, which has been, I don't know if I'd call it a strategy, but it's been a major need for this class, and they've been able to fill that pretty quickly.
Yeah, you mentioned Prince, and they've got some guys. I know there's been some teeth gnashing about 3-stars, but 5'7", because Rivals does a little different. They rate guys based off number as well as star. 5'7" one knock away from a 4-star. I mean, Prince is a guy that seems like if he had maybe a little more seasoning, a little more film, even in some different ways, that he would at least be a candidate for that bump up.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if we as Rivals would have been able to see him in a camp setting where he was going against elite level competition on a regular basis, or something like that, rather than just going strictly off of his junior highlight film, I feel like he would be a 4-star. But because, in the state of Mississippi, there's such a problem with getting these kids to camps, with getting them, in front of evaluators other than, going to college camps and stuff, it becomes a problem. And with that, you get a lot of 5.7s. Like, I think Mississippi has a handful of 5.7s, more than I've seen in quite some time, especially after the class of 2018 and 2017 in Mississippi. There's just so many because they're on the brink and they don't get, I wouldn't call it the benefit of the doubt, but we're not seeing them against elite level talent. So we don't know if you're not going to have like 15 4-stars in Mississippi just because, and just going off of film. Like, that's not how Rivals does it. At least that's not how I perceive them doing it. But if he was to get to one of those camps, if he goes to a camp next month, or you know, seeing him in person against somebody like Jonathan Mingo or Dennis Jackson. I'm not sure what Charleston's schedule looks like, but seeing him in front of elite level talent and playing against them, that's huge in terms of helping project how he fits in the next level.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like sometimes 5.7s are just sort of almost placeholder rankings. It's like, we know you're pretty good, we're not sure how good, but we're going to give you a respectable ranking and then kind of see where it goes from there.
Yeah, the last thing you want to do is have him as a 5.8 four-star, see him in person, and then have to justify dropping him down to a 5.7 or 5.6.
And that does happen. But, yeah, no, you're exactly right. We talked about that earlier in the day. You mentioned camp circuits against quality athletes, that going on in Atlanta starting today, the five-star challenge. I know you're going to have a written preview of this, but just what's kind of the synopsis? What is there for Ole Miss to kind of look forward to it at Mercedes-Benz Stadium here in the next couple of days?
Brandon wide receiver Jonathan Mingo, who started out as a three-star, went to the Rivals camp in Mobile, excelled, lit it up, added quite a few offers since then, got invited to the five-star challenge a few weeks ago. He's going to be on the national stage, which is huge for him, which is huge for Ole Miss in a way, because he's leaning pretty heavily towards them right now. And it's big for the state, because the only two players from the state of Mississippi that will be there are Jonathan Mingo and the 2020 defensive lineman, five-star George County defensive lineman McKinley Jackson. So those are the two in-state guys to watch. Obviously, with McKinley being a former LSU commitment, Alabama's in there really heavily. Ole Miss has quite a bit of ground to make up, but like I said, he classed 2020. They have time. From the other 2019 kids, Chris Bogle from Florida visited last weekend out of nowhere. No one had expected it. He wasn't really, you know, he had an offer, but no one really knew what the justification was, or, you know, how committable it was, or even how interested he could be in Ole Miss. But he showed up for a visit. I know the staff between Wesley McGriff and Chris Clark have been working him pretty hard to get him there. And with that, you know, he enjoyed himself. He enjoyed Oxford. And it'll be interesting to see if he, you know, mentions them at all in any interviews, because, I mean, when there's not an Ole Miss reporter there, like it's just the way kids are. You know, if you report for a certain school, they're obviously going to talk to you about that school. But if you're talking to a national guy, sometimes schools don't get mentioned, and that happens quite a bit.
Let me ask you what probably a lot of people are thinking right now. You mentioned only two guys there for the five-star challenge. Considering that 2019 class that's been ballyhooed a pretty good bit for a while inside the state of Mississippi, got to be a little disappointing. There's only one member in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, it's really disappointing. Not just from an Ole Miss standpoint, but from my standpoint, you know.
Yeah, statewide, just in general.
Yeah, not being able to see N'Kobe Dean, not being able to see Nathan Pickering, Jaron Handy, Daiwan Black, Dennis Jackson, Brandon Turnage. You know, not being able to see that quality of talent either on a camp circuit or at the five-star challenge, it's a little bit disappointing. But, you know, you'll see a few of them at the opening, so I guess it'll kind of even out. But not being able to get them in front of the Rivals people gets a little bit difficult, especially when you have to justify rankings going up and down when the updates do come out.
I'm going to make you crystal ball a little bit here. We have a full high school season, plenty to go on between now and then. But considering that, you mentioned a few at the opening, obviously one or two at the Rivals camp. What's going to be the scene and the importance, in your opinion, in a few months at the Miss Owl game when they all get together, they face Alabama, and if most likely all these guys are at least on one field together to get a look at them?
That will be it'll be star-studded, to be blunt. I mean, last year Mississippi beat Alabama, and that was a really, really weak class for the state of Mississippi, so it was really surprising to see the way that they dominated the state of Alabama in that game. This year, Alabama's got a lot of depth, but Mississippi has, you know, obviously all of this talent. And seeing them all on the field and seeing if they do, you know, where their commitments stand at that time is going to be interesting to see, as well as, you know, just how much of a role the early signing period is going to play and whether or not they play in that game. Because if they play in that game, they won't be able to take that last official visit before the early signing period. So that's what a lot of schools have been pushing, like N'Kobe Dean taking an early official visit to Alabama. That was a partial reason, because just in case, and I hope Coach Boyette at Horn Lake is listening, just in case they do make it to the state championship game and he does play in the miss out game, he's not going to have time to take an official visit between the end of the season and the early signing period. And everybody knows that N'Kobe Dean wants to sign in December. So you'll see a lot of that strategy and stuff coming into play, and just seeing how the board plays out around the country.
You get asked more about N'Kobe Dean than anyone else, so I'll go. Is there a latest update? And I'm going to kind of laugh and make fun a little bit. There's no way this thing's actually changing week to week, right? I mean, in a lot of ways, it's a hurry up and wait with his recruitment and most any recruitment these days.
Yeah, it's definitely a hurry up and wait. And it seems like every time you talk to somebody either around Dean or around Horn Lake or around the other two programs who are heavily involved in him, which are Alabama and Georgia, you know, you get a little bit of a foggy picture and you don't really understand exactly what's going on. So then you have to do more digging. I've probably spent more hours talking about Dean and researching Dean and talking to people about Dean than I did all of Cam Akers from the time I started in November of 2016. So from November to February, I had quite a bit of time to talk about Cam Akers and everything. And really seeing the similarities between the two recruitments would frighten me as an Ole Miss fan, right? Especially right now.
Sorry. No, I get it. I understand. And with Dean, does he have coattails? Is he a coattail guy? Where does he kind of stand? And I mean, and I kind of hate this because most times this doesn't come to fruition. You've got some people that can be impactful toward other recruitments, but is he solitary? Is he isolated? Or is there one or two guys that at least take notice to where he ends up?
There is, like, all from all over the state, there is a spotlight on N'Kobe Dean. Whether or not, you know, people are going to follow him is still up for debate. But to say if I were to say he didn't have coattails, I'd be lying to you. Radarius Jones, the three-star corner from there, everybody's really just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen with him and Dean. A lot of schools are recruiting them together, but not separately. Ole Miss has been able to make an emphasis of recruiting them both separately in an effort to basically create a backup plan, but a contingency in the case that, you know, one of them makes an early commitment to a different school that's not Ole Miss, that they don't panic and back out. But what he's got, you know, he's really close with Turnage. I mean, Dean didn't play 7-on-7 this offseason, so he's not really involved in that area of recruitment. But he's still, you know, been at all of the All-American stuff. He'll be at the All-American game in December or January. And he will have an impact on some kids, especially such a talent playing linebacker on the Ole Miss defense potentially.
Dennis Jackson commits to Mississippi State. First time that he was on campus in Starkville, I think. What are the likelihoods of that sticking all the way through February?
I would give it a 40% chance, maybe less than that, 30. Jackson and Pickering are really close. Pickering committed to Mississippi State, I believe it was a day or two before. It actually was a day before. I just looked it up. And Pickering and Jackson, they went on quite a few visits together. They've been to LSU together. They went to Florida together. They go on visits together, and they weren't considered exactly a package deal, but it was kind of known that whoever did land Pickering or Jackson by themselves had an advantage against the other. So seeing that play out is kind of why the percentage is high. But also, I just don't see Dennis Jackson fitting into the Mississippi State offense. I mean, of course, there's some uncertainty with the new staff and everything taking place. But when you look at the Penn State offense that was being ran for so long with Saquon Barkley, you didn't hear about the receivers as much in that offense.
As I go through a few questions that subscribers have had on the site at rebelgrove.com, I'll ask you this one. What's going on with Kamarte Hamilton, and then the thoughts on taking two tight ends in this class for Ole Miss?
I mean, the two tight ends in this class is kind of just, I don't know if I can cuss on this podcast, it's covering their ass in case Dawson Knox decides he's going to have a big year and declares for the draft. If that happens, obviously they'll need two tight ends. But after not taking one in last year's class, it's become a paramount importance to take two tight ends. With Kamarte Hamilton, the wait for an offer kind of got to be, you know, maddening. Like no one really understood it other than apparently the Ole Miss staff, because there was such a wait in between the Ole Miss camp. I believe he was at the first or second day of camps, and he was there, camped, blew it away, didn't get an offer until the day he camped at Tennessee and got a Tennessee offer, and it was kind of like, oh, crap, we better get in here, get in this mix while we can. And you know, seeing that and him going to Alabama, getting an offer on the spot, him going to Ohio State and getting an offer on the spot, there's definitely no imminent commitment for Kamaze Hamilton to Ole Miss. He's going to take visits. He's going to take an official visit to Ohio State. Alabama is squarely in the mix after they missed out on some of their top tight end targets. And, you know, he will be and is the top tight end target for Ole Miss, but they still got some work to do if they want to get back in it, which is crazy when you think about where Cormonte's from.
So as I go down the list, Ole Miss obviously has a quarterback commit in Grant Hisdale, Allen, Texas. Very, very successful high school quarterback. Is there any chance that – because Ole Miss is going to sign, give or take, 30 players this year. Any or take 30, I guess I should say. Any chance they add a second one to the mix other than Tisdale?
I could see it happening, and I could also see some shifting in late November, early December, some shifting on just in general, some shifting with the recruiting board, with quarterbacks, with coaches, just all of it.
Is it a foregone conclusion that should Tamu not get that extra year that Matt Corral is running this offense in 2020?
I would think that would be the thought and hope, but they're going to have to use those four games strategically if that's what they're hoping for.
What do you mean by that?
Because, you know, you get four games to play.
Without killing a red shirt.
Yeah. So you're going to have to figure out which games to put him in to where, you know, he gets his feet wet a little bit. Because the last thing you want to do is what they did with Shea Patterson and threw him in. And was it in Nashville that he got beat down?
Yeah, well, he won at A&M and then played against Vanderbilt, Mississippi State after that.
Yeah, well, see, you don't want to have to throw him into the mix. Obviously, you want Jordan to stay healthy, but if you need him, I don't know if Corral is the backup quarterback or if, you know, they're still on the brink with Pellerin or how they're going to do that. I mean, that's another topic for another day. I don't know how that would work, but with Corral, you know, you sign him, you recruit him as late as you do. You know, you fly out there and have the in-home visit and land his famous friends and all that. That's all great and dandy, but developing him as a quarterback and keeping him on the right track is what's important now.
We'll take a break in our talk with Russell to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Grenada Nissan, just off I-55. They're in Grenada running great deals right now, including over $6,000 off several 2018 Altimas. You can go to the website, GrenadaNissanUSA.com, and check out the inventory, check out the incentives, lease deals, and see what it would take to get yourself in a purchased Nissan as well. Gene and Sandy Grass, been friends of the podcast for a very long time. Again, great deals. If you're looking for a Nissan, GrenadaNissanUSA.com. The podcast also brought to you by Lauren Valick Ferris. She is a realtor with Briggs Freeman Sotheby's in Dallas. She's specializing in East Dallas and has a network that extends throughout the DFW Metroplex. She loves cheering on the Rebs, and she would love to help Rebel fans in Dallas or moving to Dallas sell their home or find and bind their new one. Lauren is consistently ranked as a top agent producer in D Magazine and was recently named a 2017 Advocate Top 10 Realtor in the Lakewood East Dallas area. So whether you're moving homes, buying, selling, referring a friend in one of the hottest housing markets in the country, find Lauren at 469-867-1734 or her website, Lauren and Kelly, that's KELLEY.com. Podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating, serving 10 years in the tailgate business this season. Try 7 South Tailgating once and you'll never tailgate without them again. They'll set up your own personal gear, or you can rent everything from them as well. I've used them a long time ago when I did that every single week. They do a fabulous job. You don't have to worry about it. They take care of your items all year long and get you where you want to be. So try them out. Again, 7SouthTailgating.com. Podcast also brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773. MasterCutsLawn.com is the web address to find out about yard aeration, sign an annual contract. Let them take care of you all year long. They build outdoor living areas. They do outdoor kitchens and more. Whatever you need, MasterCuts can help. Again, 662-607-7773. Now back to Russell Johnson on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Ole Miss needs probably another running back in the class. Jerrion Ealy, much publicized his situation with baseball. He's going to have a decision to make next summer. He is not in this class. He is in the next class as far as the draft goes, but – at least as of right now, a year out, probably pretty high in that pecking order. So I guess I'll ask you about Eric Gray specifically, but then just overall, where is Ole Miss kind of with running back in this class?
It, running back, you know, they, like you said, they do have Ely committed, and I think they've kind of faced the fact that, you know, it's not going to happen, that he's not going to play baseball and football at Ole Miss despite his commitment to both schools. And, you know, I could see Ely becoming a member of the commitment list who's kind of doing what Jerry Jones is doing for Mississippi State in terms of helping recruit actively for other kids, especially in state. But at the running back position specifically, Eric Gray has officially visited Michigan and Penn State. He camped at Alabama, and Ole Miss is obviously in the picture. He visited there, didn't camp, but he was there. He visited, spent some time with Harris and Nix. Nix has kind of taken over that recruitment, so it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But I do know that Gray wants to make a commitment before his senior season, because at Lausanne, they really are focusing on winning another state title. So for him, he's going to start running out of time here pretty soon. So it'll be interesting to see if he makes a commitment during the dead period, or if he waits and, you know, takes maybe one last visit to Ole Miss before announcing somewhere. But right now, I would say that it's a two-team race between Michigan and Ole Miss. But that's just because of the fact that Eric Gray does not fit your prototypical Alabama running back mold.
What's he more like?
Gray is not your physical run between the tackles running back. Gray is a finesse guy who runs a solid 40, quick. He's a one-cut back, I would say. He's a one-cut, but, I mean, he'll play receiver for Lausanne. He's all over the field.
Where is Ole Miss sitting? I know it's early. Georgia's going to be involved, but Demetrius Robinson from Cal, who Peeler helped get to the Bears, is on the market for another program. Any early indications of where that's sitting for Ole Miss or anyone else?
I mean, right now, it's really difficult to tell exactly what's going on, because you've got this wait going on for Cal to give a release. And until Cal gives a release, these coaches can't talk to him. They can, you know, obviously do the back channel thing and everything that was going on here last year in Oxford, but they can't have direct contact. So until that happens, you really can't put much weight into what you hear. Obviously, you know, Robertson's been contemplating a transfer basically since Peeler left Cal. What was that, 2 years ago? And Georgia's always been there. They've always had a spot open for him. They've, you know, kind of kept that open. But at this point, I would think that if Georgia were to take him, Georgia would end up having to either gray shirt or push back or send a kid to JUCO that they signed last year, because obviously that vaunted class the University of Georgia was able to sign. But you can't count out Peeler, especially with Robertson. He had the ties in his recruitment. I wouldn't call Ole Miss a leader, a front runner, or a top school in this right now. You've got Ole Miss, who's been interested. Georgia's reported, obviously. Alabama, Oregon. And then an interesting one that you hear when you kind of talk to people around Cal and around the state of California is San Diego State. I'm not sure what's going on there, why it is, but that's just another school to watch.
I'll believe that when I see it. No offense.
I can't disagree with you.
Yeah, I know. Fun one here, because I'm kind of curious too. I don't follow this anymore because I don't have to. You do. But I'm seeing it on Twitter. Jerry and Jones does not appear to be a huge fan of Ole Miss. Pretty pro-state at this point. What happened in his recruitment? What kind of shifted? Because it seems like one time that was a name that we talked about a lot for being a lot more on Ole Miss's board and pro-Rebel heavy.
I think in terms of Jerry and Jones and his quote-unquote hatred for Ole Miss, you kind of got to read between the lines. At one point, he was an Ole Miss lean. At one point, he was an Alabama lean. At one point, he was an LSU lean. He doesn't like any of those schools anymore. So you kind of just have to put the pieces together in terms of his recruitment and how it's played out, especially with his early commitment to Oklahoma. And he was committed to Mississippi State, I believe it was his sophomore year. And you saw how that played out, like I said, with him ending up decommitting, committing to Oklahoma, decommitting, and then recommitting to Mississippi State. Obviously, as the poster mentioned, him and Freeze were very close. Freeze was close with quite a bit of the 2019 kids. He knew how important that class was. You know, he had already started talking to them far before the times. Like, he would get him on camp, he would get them on campus as much as he could, and he had the relationships there that would have paid off potentially, but he doesn't anymore. And with Jones, like I said, you kind of just got to read between the lines and figure out what the common denominator is between LSU, Alabama, and Ole Miss that has him negatively recruiting against them as much as he is.
So nothing's happened lately. Lafayette athlete Brandon Turnage, where's his health right now? And then if something does kind of start to turn Ole Miss's way or spin away from what's currently going on with Turnage, what month or what time of the year do you expect that to happen?
With Turnage, I think it's not going to play out quickly. I think he's going to play out his senior season as an Alabama commitment. And then as the season ends, you know, gets to the playoffs, however far they go, you're talking about the Mississippi-Alabama game, plays in that. After that, things are really going to start to turn up. The pressure is going to turn up, you know, from the family to stay close to home, from the coaches, they're going to push even harder than they already are. And he's going to feel the pressure to not leave Oxford. I mean, he's been in Oxford for so long. Like you said, being in Lafayette, he's finally healthy, which is big. I joke around with him every time I see him that, you know, he better be walking around in a bubble because, you know, right before the Ole Miss camp, actually, he was going to work out. It would have been his first workout since his injury, like at least in terms of being in front of reporters and college coaches and stuff. And he was doing stadium stairs and he jumped. And rather than landing on his feet, he landed on his ankle. And because of that, he didn't camp. And there is, you know, some jokes being made. But Turnage is healthy. He'll be fully prepared to play whatever he needs to for Lafayette this season, which thankfully won't be quarterback. That's another topic for another day. But there's so much of that in Mississippi. The best player on the team will play quarterback. And then they'll wonder why they don't win games because they're not. Like I said, another topic for another day. But with Turnage, you know, like I said, it's going to play out slowly. I don't expect anything imminent. I expect quite a bit of smoke to other schools to take place. But in the end, I do expect Turnage to stay home and play for Ole Miss.
Is Ole Miss a realistic player for wide receiver Devontae Lee?
Do you know where Devontae Lee's from?
No idea.
Louisiana. And the answer is no.
Because he's from Louisiana. Is he from South Louisiana?
I think so.
Okay. So even more no.
He's from a spot in Louisiana where I don't think Ole Miss is as high on him as they used to be.
Okay, fair enough. We mentioned Jerry in a second ago. Is there anyone that could become that type of recruiter for Ole Miss, or is that something that in this class, as far as who is one of the main guys for the Rebels, that's just not a personality or a thing that you'd expect?
Well, I mentioned Jerry and Ely as a strong possibility to do that. You could also see Dywan Black start doing that, of course, assuming he remains committed. You know, it seems like every day him and Jerry are going back and forth on Twitter or Periscope or Snapchat or Instagram. Pretty soon we'll see him on Pinterest doing something. But with Jerry and Black, you know, the similarities are there in terms of their personalities. I think it's just a matter of, you know, Black being able to make the impact and, you know, have such a presence, a pro-Ole Miss presence, which, you know, at some points it looked like he was starting to build in terms of, you know, trolling Mississippi State fans on Twitter, talking about the Egg Bowl and things like that. But it never grew to the level that Jerrion's has. So with him, like I said, Ely, Black, and then the last one would be Bryce Ramsey. You know, Bryce Ramsey's the first commitment for Ole Miss from the coast in quite some time. He's 6'1", about 340, going to continue to drop some weight before he gets to Oxford, going to play center. But, you know, none of that plays into a role as much as it does have Ole Miss having a commitment from the coast and being able to use that. I mean, you've got Derek Hall down there. You've got Byron Young down there. You've got so many targets, especially McKinley Jackson for 2020. You need that presence down there. And I would say that Bryce, out of all the commitments, has done the best job doing that. Of course, besides Grant Tisdale, but Tisdale's in Texas. So, you know, his impact on Mississippi kids is kind of irrelevant.
Staying with that topic for just a second, you mentioned Derek Hall and Byron Young. Any chance for those by the time February gets here or December, whichever one they sign in?
Yes, there's a real chance with both of them. With Byron Young, his recruitment, like I said, I've said on the board all summer, has really started to develop in a way that has helped Ole Miss. And, you know, Young visited Mississippi State, had the meeting there with the staff, just didn't commit. So the longer Young's recruitment goes, the better off it'll be for them. I think it's the same with Derek Hall. Hall's got some people in his ear. They want him to go to Mississippi State and some people in his ear that want him to go to Auburn. But it's just a matter of, you know, putting the pressure on him and seeing what the results could be potentially of arguably Ole Miss's two best recruiters and John Sumrall and Jacob Pela. Putting them together on a kid and recruiting Derek Hall as hard as they have been, whether or not he ends up again as a defensive end or a linebacker, depending on how the staff and schemes change up after this season.
So Ole Miss currently has five offensive linemen committed for this class, probably more to come. What is the total number there that they're trying to get? And then I don't need names, but do you expect the current five to all stick through the signing period?
I do. I expect all of them to stay through the signing period. I would say the one that's furthest from home commitment-wise and Nick Broeker would be the one I kind of keep an eye on as December and February roll around, just because of the Blaine Scott effect. Let's not beat around the bush here. Last year, you had a commitment from Ohio, and Blaine Scott visited Ole Miss several times, committed, started to kind of weigh his options a bit once he got back from his last visit. And with that, you know, backed away, ended up at West Virginia, which is a lot closer to home. And I would still keep an eye on Michigan State with Nick Broeker quite a bit. And as well as, you know, he's got family ties to the University of Illinois. And if they're able to succeed on the field as they have on Twitter and in recruiting, you know, that's another program to keep an eye on with him. But like you said, you're talking about numbers. You've got five committed. You've got four or five targets remaining, at least realistically. And with that, you know, the numbers are going to have to play themselves out, but you could really easily see them taking seven offensive linemen in one class, which when you only take one pure offensive lineman in last year's class, you can kind of make up for it. But at the same time, you know, other schools are going to use that in terms of playing time and just a negative recruiting in general.
However, there are five spots for that, not one or two.
Right.
So, of course.
Right. You play five at a time. But you're signing seven in 1 year.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And you signed one the previous year, plus a defensive lineman who's going to eventually play offensive line in Jalen Cunningham. So the numbers will work themselves out, as Neil always says, but signing seven offensive linemen is a bit alarming to other SEC schools and, you know, other schools around the country.
All right, let's play this game. Give me a percentage chance that these players end up on Ole Miss's signing day list. Ready?
All right.
Jaron Handy, currently committed to Auburn.
38%.
38, huh? Am I supposed to read into that because it's Chucky Mullen's number, or are you just throwing a number out?
You read into it as you might.
Okay, fair enough. Zach Edwards, LSU.
10%.
Brandon Turnage, currently committed to Alabama, as we said.
65%.
65, okay. Charles Moore, Mississippi State.
15%.
Dennis Jackson, Mississippi State.
49.99999.
So a toss-up.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Demonte Russell, MSU.
That's an interesting spelling for him. But anyways, Demonte Russell, I'll go 55.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Jamon Gordon, Auburn.
30.
And then we talked about quarterbacks and things earlier. KJ Jefferson, currently committed to Arkansas.
60.
Really?
Yep.
Well, now, if you're saying that, you think they're going to take two quarterbacks.
Those words never came out of my mouth.
Okay, I'm just saying, but if it's 60%, that's more than 50, which means it's likely they end up with quarterbacks.
Two quarterbacks, one quarterback, one offensive coordinator, two offensive coordinators. Who knows?
KJ Jefferson, who knows?
Yes.
That's what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fair enough. Just curious. Another quick break in our talk with Russell to tell you that 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. Be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Season tickets still available for Ole Miss football. And before too long, the fall sports do get back into effect, soccer, volleyball, and, of course, football. So, again, OM Year of the Fan to see what all is going on with Ole Miss Athletics this summer. Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander, been a sponsor of Neil's 10 Weekend Thoughts for a long time. Use the Properties and Neighborhoods tab at harryalexander.com to filter things out, find what you're looking for in the Oxford area. You can reach Harry direct at 662-801-5621 or ha@harryalexander.com and let him take care of your real estate needs in the Oxford area. A podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. Why does that matter? When you deposit money at OUB, the money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay, mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. Oxford University Bank is FDIC insured. Now back to Russell Johnson on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. All right. So who are you interested in with the five-star challenge? You mentioned some of the out-of-state, in-state Ole Miss guys, but just in general for the recruit Knicks that are watching kind of the national scene, are there one or two guys that you're interested in how they play against top-level competition tomorrow?
I'm really looking forward to seeing 2020 quarterback from Marietta, my hometown. But anyways, Harrison Bailey, quarterback who really blew up as an eighth grader, as a ninth grader, and the ceiling has – some people think he's reached a ceiling, and SEC schools have kind of started to back off. So I'm interested to see how he does against the level of competition he's going to be going against, as well as Ryan Helinski. Obviously, he was the other top quarterback target besides Jefferson and Tisdale. And Ole Miss went in a different direction. Helinski went a different direction. He's been committed to South Carolina. He's been a very, very active recruiter on social media. Obviously, the news came out today, Tuesday, about his brother having CTE and everything. Just seeing how he handles everything. You know, he's been through a lot in the past 6 months, and seeing how he handles everything and performs. He climbed all the way up pretty high into the Rivals 100 following his evaluation in the three-stripe camp in California. So it'll be interesting to see that as well. And then, you know, as you go down the list, there's some receivers who might not prove they belong on that level when they see them against the talent they'll be playing in. And then offensive linemen, like I mentioned, you've got Stacey Wilkins, Chris Morris, Jonah Tuanu, all kinds of offensive line targets who hold Ole Miss offers, but you can never really tell how serious they are about visiting Ole Miss and considering Ole Miss until it comes down to it. And, of course, Chris Morris is from Memphis, so you take that as you might. And then another receiver to watch who visited earlier this month is Elijah Higgins from Texas. One of the top targets on the board, obviously a little bit on the wishy-washy standpoint in terms of, you know, not really counting on getting him in this class because he's an out-of-state kid. But you could definitely see him making an early commitment somewhere and then kind of doing what Miles Battle did last year and flipping late.
He was the kid that on Tuesday made the tweet about no more interviews because someone burned a commitment.
Yes, and that was a pretty big commitment to burn.
Meaning,
that's a five-star cornerback.
Meaning maybe it's worth it, is what you're saying?
No, it's not worth it. It was not worth it whatsoever.
We're referring to media that jumped the gun and don't let the kid commit on his own time.
I think that's obviously another topic for another day, because that's a big thing for me at least. And I catch some slack for it, but at the end of the day, you know, you build trust with these kids. These kids trust these reporters enough to tell them, hey, I'm committing to the University of Delta Tech. And you'll be like, okay, when are you doing it? And they'll tell you when. And all you have to do is set up a tweet in your drafts, get a thread created, and don't push publish. Just that kind of stuff. Getting something pre-written, getting an edit made by the great Nick Lucero from Rivals Photos. Getting that kind of stuff taken care of behind the scenes rather than, you know, hashtagging it up and tweeting it out. Because at the end of the day, these kids talk. And when these kids talk, what is the saying these days? The number one form of marketing is word of mouth. And if your word of mouth marketing is, yeah, he leaked that kid's commitment. Like, there's been kids from – like, that kid is from California, and that's obviously to the University of Southern Cal. But there's kids from Georgia, Texas, Michigan, Ohio, Mississippi, Florida, Tennessee, South Carolina, all over the country who were reacting and upset by that. And it just becomes a bit of a problem and an obstacle, almost a thing you have to hurdle because of people doing that. And it's become such a prevalent topic because it's happening so much.
You mentioned Helsinki, and I want to stay in this one particular lane because it's tragedy and thoughts and prayers and everything else with his family as they continue to discover and find things out about the end of his brother's life. But if you're South Carolina, just from this one angle, if you're South Carolina, do you worry or do you fear or does it potentially change your recruiting philosophy with him or with other players at his position based off maybe this, changing how he wants to proceed with his football career because of what happened to his brother?
You definitely would have to at least consider taking a second quarterback in this class. At least I would if I was South Carolina. But doing that publicly and doing that privately are two separate things. Doing that publicly might push Helsinki elsewhere, especially because the local schools have finally started to pay attention and offer him, which before he was committed to South Carolina, that never took place and it kind of played a factor into things. I could see Helsinki actually eventually staying closer to home to be around his family as they, continue to grieve. It's not going to be just a 1 year, 2 year, 1 month, 6 month process. It's going to take time. And with that, I would definitely, as a member of South Carolina staff, hypothetically, I would recruit a second quarterback, maybe somebody a little more local, maybe somebody committed to an SEC school, something like that.
So Ole Miss picks up Jay Stanley again here recently. What does that do as far as the safety position? Is that about done or is there more spots there?
You've got a best player available spot you can use there. But if not, having Judson and Stanley together, that's a great fit. As long as Stanley can stay healthy and, make an impact on that Brandon defense, Brandon's going to be a problem this year. But Stanley's physicality also because he's playing a hybrid linebacker safety position, which I know Ole Miss fans hate, but that's what they're doing at Brandon. And he's able to do that and continue to develop and understand the concepts of the game of football, especially as projecting as a safety at the next level. That's important. And then Tyler Judson came out of nowhere. He visited Ole Miss with one Power 5 offer from Baylor and really just kind of, talked a little bit before the camp. I'm hopeful to get an offer. But you hear that from zero-star kids with no offers except a Northeast offer or something like that. So you kind of take it with a grain of salt. But the more you watch Judson work out and you saw him in drills, and you're like, if he can keep it up like as he is in drills and one-on-ones, he's going to get an offer. And from the moment that he got that offer, Ole Miss was set because he was ready to commit. It was just a matter of getting the rest of his family over to visit. And then he did. He didn't get his moment, but that's another story. Judson committed the following week on his visit, and he will be potentially an entryway into the state of Louisiana.
So we've talked a lot about offensive linemen and Ole Miss having to catch up a little bit in this class. For the 2020 class, what's the most likely position that they will have to catch up a little bit? Looking ahead a lot, but it sort of dovetails into what we were talking about. Where realistically is going to be that focus where they take one or two more than they would in a typical class?
Running back, especially if obviously no one thinks Ely is going to report. And then if potentially they miss on Gray and have to take an in-state kid who may or may not be ready, the pressure is going to be really turned up on running back coach Derek Nix to make an impact and to get a recruit, because that would be just another notch in the belt that a lot of people have, kind of started to place against him, missing on Cam Akers, missing on Eric Gray potentially, and missing on some others. So it would be interesting to see, how that all played out, especially if they don't get Eric Gray. So I would say the running back position, and then you'll finally be caught up at the receiver position. So that won't be a problem. But then going to the defensive side of the ball, they're going to have to load up on safeties next year. Think about it, you're already struggling with depth at that position. You've got two in the commitment list for the class of 2019. Probably going to sign three, maybe, like I said, a best player available spot. But other than that, you're going to have to sign at least three in the class of 2020.
Hypothetically, they miss out on Ely, and then whatever happens with Gray, though, the problem is you've got to get the dynamic back, but it's really hard to build depth at that position because it's a lot like quarterback where that second guy is not as likely to come play with someone who's somewhat star-studded and known at that position.
Right, and that became a problem, at least behind the scenes with Eric Gray when he first saw Jarian Ealy commit to Ole Miss. He was like, yeah, you know what, I'm going to cool on them. And he really wasn't even considering them for quite some time. And then Mississippi State entered the picture for him. And then the schools further away from home, like Michigan, Notre Dame was even in there at one point, Penn State, and then obviously Alabama are all in the picture for him. And seeing how that plays out, especially with Mississippi State primed to land a commitment from a running back out of state, so that eliminates that option for him. But he wanted to be the go-to guy. And I think in the recruiting room, the war room, or whatever you want to call it, when they're sitting down with Gray, you know, they're going to have to just be straight up with him and say, listen, Ely's not coming. You can play here the moment you get here. And if they're able to do that and sell him on that and fix the miscommunications that took place early on in his recruitment, they should be able to, you would think, have him think that he would be the go-to back and have the interest peak with Ole Miss before an announcement.
Say that the current class is mostly going to stick through signing day. How many of these guys are early signing period people that'll go ahead and get it over with in December?
I would say, let's see, they got 19 commitments. It'll be 18 once Tarekius Tisdale enrolls after he passes his college writing class or whatever it is he's taking at Northwest. Let's see. I would say a good well over half of them will sign early, especially the in-state kids, because there will be pressure. You'll get those phone calls where, hey, you're going to sign early? You shouldn't sign early. Like, that's what happened with Keedron Smith from Florida last year. He was committed to Ole Miss for quite some time. Jim Harbaugh calls him the day before the early signing period, tries to get him to hold off and not commit and not sign. And once he signed, obviously that ended all speculation and everything. And Ole Miss will be trying to do that desperately as the early signing period approaches.
Yeah, I mean, last year they got pretty much all of them in the early signing period. I can only think of like two or so that were not. So they had a lot of success. A lot of success with that, so we'll see. But anyway, Russell, we got the five-star challenge. It's finally starting to, at least from a camp and an on-site perspective, slow down after this.
Yeah, it will for a little bit. You know, I'm going to take a little bit of time away next month. It should be good. I might actually turn off Twitter for more than an hour at a time. Might. I don't know if I'll be able to do it. It's kind of hard. It's kind of, you know, it becomes a part of your life, especially you know, covering recruiting and building relationships with high school coaches and other people who impact recruitment, it becomes part of your life. You know, being on Twitter and constantly communicating with people and being able to take a step back from that is difficult, at least for me it is. Other people have mastered the art, and once I master it, who knows what the potential could be.
Well, we really appreciate the extended amount of time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good.
Thanks to Russell there for pinch hitting and helping me out this morning. Good stuff. A very comprehensive look at where Ole Miss is sitting in the recruiting world as the calendar almost turns to July. Camp season over. A lot of commitments going on, though. And before you know it, it'll be fall camp for the actual football team. So plenty of more content coming your way at rebelgrove.com. Podcast through the week. Again, none tomorrow. But you get the greatest pod in the South. That was a recruiting podcast you just heard. And then we'll be back on Friday from Jackson to talk about the camp, maybe visit with some of those former players and more. Should be a pretty entertaining podcast for you on Friday morning. Normal time, you'll get it if all goes to plan. So thanks to Russell for pinch hitting, and we'll talk to you in a couple days.